Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today's gospel comes from the 12th chapter of St. Matthew's gospel, where Jesus' disciples were criticized by the Pharisees for breaking the Sabbath. The book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 21, said that 6 days you are to work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest time you shall rest. And the Pharisees charged the disciples with violating this precept of the Mosaic Law. Deuteronomy 23:25, however, differentiated between plucking grain, which is what the disciples were doing, and harvesting it, which was forbidden. But the Pharisees, in their misguided zeal, forbade even the plucking of the grain on the Sabbath by a rigid extension of the Exodus prohibition. And Jesus responds to them by saying, "Have you not read what David did?" Matthew 12, verse 3. These words would actually be a tremendous insult to the intellectual pride of the Pharisees to accuse them of not having read and not being familiar with the Scriptures. At the same time, it's a way of Jesus saying to them that the Scriptures which they believe will justify them, in reality will condemn them, because they know neither the letter of, they know the letter of the Scriptures, but they don't understand the Spirit. They focused on flaws instead of focusing on the heart of divine revelation, which of course led them to even be wrong in their assessment of the faults and the sins of others, as they were wrong in their assessment of Jesus' disciples today. Isn't it so much easier to see and focus on the flaws and the faults of others and to overlook our own faults and our own flaws and our own sins? For some people, it is, as they say, like riding on a seesaw. You know, if there are two of us on a seesaw and I push you down, where do I go? I go up. I rise up. In the spiritual order, there are those who specialize not in being like Jesus and Mary, but rather they specialize in having a certain sense of moral superiority in the way that they look at others, or rather, in the way that they look down on others and criticize them. By the way, the Pharisees do have an Old Testament counterpart. You'll find him in the book of Exodus. We actually heard about him during the first readings of the Mass this week. His name was Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Just as Pharaoh heard the words of the Lord and would not heed them and hardened his heart at the wonders God had wrought through the plagues, and he wouldn't let God's people go, so too in the New Testament, the Pharisees heard the words of God from the Lord himself, from the mouth of the Son of God. They saw many miracles that he wrought, and yet they still hardened their hearts and would not let the people go. They would not let them embrace the Messiah. We see this, for example, in John 9, when it says that, quote, the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue, John 9, verse 22. Suffice to say that if someone would have told the Pharisees that they were behaving like Pharaoh in the Old Testament, they would have only heaped abuses on that person, as they did with the man born blind in the 9th chapter of St. John's Gospel. You see, there does exist a religious zeal which can at times and is at times misguided, and it's guided by the devil. You know, there can be a religious zeal which is guided more by fear and pride than by faith and humility. So how do I know if my religious zeal is guided by the Holy Spirit, or if it's guided by my selfishness, or if it's guided by the devil himself? Well, Jesus in today's gospel gives us a litmus test. He said to the Pharisees, "If you had known what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless." Matthew 12, verse 7. So how merciful are you towards others? And even those who aren't in your camp, as Jesus' disciples weren't in the camp of the Pharisees, how merciful are you in your words and your thoughts and your actions towards others? You know, there are some people who love when the priest preaches on things like hell and judgment, things which a priest obviously should preach on. But then when he preaches on mercy and compassion, they're ready to label him a modernist. Likewise, there are Catholics who are so fixated on the errors, presumed or real, of people like the Holy Father that they fail to see the tender concern and merciful heart of someone like Pope Francis, always ready to see the bad in him and in others, blind and cynical towards the good. You know, I wonder how many times in our rash and self-centered judgments, how many guiltless people have we condemned or accused of sin when, in fact, they weren't even guilty of sin. Just like the Pharisees who pushed others down so that they could rise up, I think many of us are actually guilty of that sin. Recently, I saw on a website, a popular religious website, an article regarding some former seminarians who I'd studied with in Italy. They were just ordained to the priesthood a couple of weeks ago. And on the site where the article was, I looked to the right of the article and then scrolling list of articles and links, all of which were heaping abuses on the Holy Father. It was just a litany, one after the other, of articles and links trashing the Pope. And I thought to myself, you know, it really is true. There is a religious zeal which is inspired by Satan himself, just as we see with the Pharisees in the Gospels. Where there's charity and humility, God is present. Where charity and humility are absent, God is absent as well. And it reminds me of what St. James said in his New Testament letter when he said that if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, his religion is pointless, said the apostle, James 1, verse 26. So we look for a solution to this mess, and the solution, again, I think is found partly in the words of our Lord today, I desire mercy. Even those who are guilty of sin and error need us to look on them with eyes of mercy and need us to reach out to them in a spirit of compassion. It's the only chance that many sinners will actually have to see the face of Christ in their lives. So here's just some advice for all of us. Let's learn to have mercy on others in their faults, in their mistakes, and even in their selfishness as well. Why? Because we too have faults, we make mistakes, and we commit acts of selfishness too. The Imitation of Christ says, quote, be not angry that you cannot make others as you wish them to be, since you cannot make yourself as you wish to be, says the Imitation. God promises to give you and me mercy in the measure that we have given it to others. That's what he says in the Sermon on the Mount. The measure you give will be the measure you get, Matthew 7, verse 2. For some people, those words will be a great comfort, those words of our Lord. For the rest of us, those words are a warning and they're a wake-up call as well. So let's learn to truly embrace the mercy and the love and compassion and the patience that our Lord has towards us, and then let's learn to extend that to others as well. God's mercy and love is meant for you, but then it's meant to be given through you to those around you, which at times, of course, is not easy to do. But it's in becoming an extension of God's love and his compassion that we'll be true followers, true disciples of Jesus Christ. So let's pray to Our Lady and ask her to have a heart of mercy like she has towards us and towards others. And please also say a prayer for the preacher that he will live up to what he preaches. Otherwise, he's going to be in more trouble than all the rest of you, maybe all the rest of you combined. Praise be Jesus and Mary.